All right. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 to start with. Genesis chapter 3 and Proverbs 12. Genesis 3 and Proverbs 12. We'll begin in Genesis 3, go down to verse 23. Genesis 3, 23. This is after the fall, and the Lord bans Adam and Eve from the garden. And notice what's stated here in verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth, that's Adam, from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He sent him out to till the ground. All right? Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. One more. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And go down to verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. You can leave Genesis 3 and just keep your fingers in Proverbs 12 and Proverbs 28. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come back to you tonight. Counted it a fruitful service this morning, Father. We had visitors here and we heard the Word of God. I pray that you'll do something with it. We don't believe that the Word of God will return void because you promised it wouldn't. We come to you tonight knowing that there's a bunch of stuff on the horizon, a lot of things going on, very good things as well as challenging things. And we pray you'll bless this week with the kids going to camp and the adults involved with that, as well as all the things that we've been doing here with parades and street preaching and visitation and all that. Look forward to yet some more things ahead of us, Moldova. And the state fair, we pray you'll make these fruitful times. We're trying to take our own advice, Father, and do more as these last days close in upon us rather than less. I pray, Father, you'd help us and give us strength to do so. I pray you might encourage us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Genesis 3:23 says that the Lord sent Adam out to till the ground from which he was taken. That was actually part of the curse, but it testifies of man's lot and calling after the fall. And that lot and calling is to till the ground. He is called to till the ground. Now, we have been commercialized and marketized and modernized, perhaps hypnotized, and certainly citified. I realize that there's probably none of us here any longer that really make any kind of a living actually putting a plow in the ground and tilling the ground. Maybe you have a garden. I hope you do. That's all fine and good. But it is important to realize that the Bible is very much based around agriculture and horticulture, that sort of thing. I mean, the Bible, whatever else you can say about the Bible, the Lord repeatedly returns to the vineyards, to husbandry, to the farms and to the fields. I know that you have fishermen parables. I know that there are seafaring men. But over and over, God returns to animals and farming and animals and farming. It's always agrarian over and over again. That is God's perspective on something man's supposed to be doing. And frankly, the ministry and the Christian life is presented that way. So, I mean, the Bible says that we are the sheep of His pasture. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3 says that we are His husbandry. Okay? So, you can't get away from it. I realize most of us here are not farmers. We're not vineyardsmen or herdsmen, that sort of thing. I grew up on a farm, but obviously my children didn't, and it's been a very long time since I had anything to do with it. Nevertheless, no matter how little you have to do with a farm these days or tilling a ground or plowing or any such thing, I'm telling you, that is what you are spiritually. Whether you like it or not, whether you would rather do something else, whether you'd rather be a fisherman. You're supposed to be a fisherman, supposed to be a soldier, supposed to be a vineyardsman and all those things. But I'm telling you, when it gets down to it, the description of the Christian life is very often, does very often rather revolve around raising a crop. And that's whether you like it or not, that's what you are. If you have never had the blessing of plowing and planting and cultivating and harvesting, well, you know, maybe you lack something of experience, but you still should understand that that is what you're called to do, spiritually speaking in spiritual terms, right? Now, there is this terrible temptation. Man was sent forth by the will of God to till the ground. Now, if you never put a plow in the ground, I'm not saying you're backslidden. I'm just saying that spiritually, that's what you're called to do. That's what you're called to be. Now, there is a very great temptation that comes with that. Notice Proverbs 12 and Proverbs 28, 12, 11. Proverbs 12, 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons. Proverbs 28 says the same thing about following vain persons in contradiction to tilling your land. Again, ladies and gentlemen, there is a terrible temptation. That temptation revolves around vain persons. You should be tilling your land, but it's likely you're going to be tempted to follow vain persons. Those vain persons will be your peers. They will be your friends, your buddies, your chums, your pals. They're going to often be your schoolmates. They're going to be your workmates. They're going to be somebody that comes along with a flashy watch and a nice car who has big dreams and big ideals. And he has a song and a dance, and you're going to be tempted to leave the field and go follow vain persons. It is a terrible temptation, but the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. That works for 50-year-old men as much as it works for 15-year-old boys and girls. Bible says the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Paul complained to the Galatians, said, "O foolish Galatians, Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Somebody came along and convinced the Galatians they should be doing something else than plowing their land. Right? I have another example in the prodigal son. I have no proof that anybody sat around and tried to pull the prodigal son off his father's inheritance, but the chances you'd have to admit are pretty good. The prodigal son had evil influences and evil communications and bad friends that probably influenced his thinking to some degree. Is that a fair assessment? Bottom line is, folks, there is this terrible contrast, this terrible disparity in things that we're going to be tempted in. And the temptation will be, though we're called to till our land, the temptation will be that we should go follow vain men, vain fellows, vain persons, it says there. The terrible temptation is to follow the guy with a song and a dance and a roll of cash and a flashy watch, and he promises fun and excitement. Okay? The bottom line, you should be tilling your land. Right? The title of the message tonight is Till Thy Land. With that said, we're going to compare these two lots, tilling your land versus following vain persons. I would point something out before we go there. Again, Proverbs 12:11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. He that tilleth his land. I have a question for you, a deep theological question. Whose land is it? It says twice, it's his land. Okay, now, brother, this is your land. This is your responsibility. I know ultimately God owns it, but you own it. God gave it to you as an inheritance. These are your pounds that you have to invest. This is the time and the youth and the energy and God's investment in you. This is your responsibility. It is thy land. He says twice that a man's supposed to go till his land. Proverbs 12:11. He that tilleth his land. It's his land. Till thy land is the name of the sermon this morning, or tonight. I have three basic points. I want to give you a description, first of all, of the choice. A description of the choice. And it says there in Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. You have a choice. You can, however, go follow vain persons. And if you do so, it says you're void of understanding. All right? Proverbs 28 and verse 19 says something pretty much along the same vein, at least in the first part. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he has a choice. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. All right? So I'm going to, first of all, describe those two, lifestyles or whatever you want to call it. I want to describe those to you. First of all, let me say this. Tilling your land is the will of God. Adam was sent from the garden to till his land, okay? To till the ground. In this passage, twice, Proverbs 12, Proverbs 28, that man is called to go out and till his land, okay? I cannot think of one single time in the Word of God where God encourages somebody to go follow vain persons. Take off from tilling your land at 3 o'clock this afternoon because I know it's important for you to go home and send off your official entry into the Justin Bieber fan club. You know? Go tweet your favorite pro athlete. Go take time out of the field. Then you're supposed to be plowing. It's thy land, and if you don't get it worked, nothing's going to happen. But go spend 6 hours waiting for the next posting of pictures on your friend's Facebook page. You want to see her field a trip to the chemical factory. And it's really important to spend 6 hours waiting for the update on Facebook. The Bible says, a man is supposed to go till his land. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons, it says there, is void of understanding in Proverbs chapter 12. Vain persons are not the will of God. You cannot name me one time God told somebody in the Word of God to go follow a vain person. You cannot find it. I'm convinced you cannot find it. If you can, just let me know. Thy land, it's thy land. You better go put a plow in the ground. And if you're not plowing yet, the season is late. If you're not careful, you're not going to get a crop in. The Bible says you're supposed to go till your ground. Till thy land. Tell you something else. Not only is tilling the will of God, I'll tell you the second thing. Tilling is monotonous. Tilling is boring. It is repetitious. It is not exciting. It's just not. I never plowed or tilled the way these guys did. I never used a horse and mule team or an ox team or anything like that. So that's beyond my capacity. But I can tell you this. I grew up on a farm and a ranch. And get ready to ooh now. Because I was driving a tractor in the field at 7 years old. My dad needed help. I was the oldest son. And when I was 7, I was big for my age anyway. And he put me on a tractor. I started raking hay and plowing and disking. I was, you know, the first few days, he kind of stayed in the field and kept watch over me. But it wasn't very long before I was spending 2, 3, 4, and 5 hours alone in a field on a tractor. And I can tell you this, the first time you crawl up on that bee farm all and get her in gear and turn up the gas, man, it is a thrill, it is an excitement. I'm driving a tractor! And I'm only 7! Yes! I can tell you this, it doesn't take long for the excitement to wear off. I don't can't tell you how many countless hours before I was 17 years old, between 7 and 17, that I was in a field all day long, tilling or plowing or disking, or even, you know, kind of a parallel, raking hay or some such thing like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. It's not exciting. It is monotonous. It is boring. Talk about watching paint dry. Get on about a 75-acre field, and it's your job to disc the field. Every inch of it has to be disced. Then after you disc it or plow it the first time, I promise you, you'll have to disc it again. And if the ground is pretty decently broken up then you can go get the harrow and harrow it so that it's really ready to plant. If you're up to it, then you can plant it, and when it starts growing, you can cultivate it to get the weeds out. You just go over that land over and over and over again. It's repetitious. It is monotonous. It is as boring as it can possibly be after that first little rush of excitement for a 7-year-old boy. I'm driving a tractor! It's just not that exciting after that. Well, the Bible says there, it says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, though, right? Tilling is repetitive. Now, it's not exciting. Now, vain persons can be exciting. I mean, you can go drive off a bridge drunk with them. That's exciting. You can go see the lights and the shows at the casinos. That's, oh, baby, that's exciting. You can follow your favorite movie star on Twitter. That's exciting. You can go get on your favorite pro athlete's Facebook page and wait again for your best friend forever Facebook pictures to be posted so you can finally see the field trip to the chemical plant. Oh, it's just exciting. But it takes you away from your plowing. Did you know that the Christian life and the ministry and serving God can actually be pretty monotonous? It really can. Did you ever read the Bible? Did you ever read Numbers? Did you ever wonder why Numbers and 1 Chronicles 1 through 10 is in the Bible? Because the Bible is about life. And you've never read more boring chapters in your entire lifetime than parts of Numbers and 1 Chronicles. But it's true to life. And I can tell you this, if you're looking for excitement, you're going to get bored in some aspects of the Christian life. Because it's like plowing a field. It's like planting a field, cultivating a field, and waiting for a harvest. Folks are not accustomed to the kind of patience that it takes. Going over land, over and over again, same old dirt, over and over again, planting the seed, waiting for it to come up, cultivating or hoeing the seed so that the weeds are gone, and then waiting through the entire season, finally for the ear to appear and to grow, ready to be harvested, that sort of thing. Folks just are not accustomed to that anymore. They're used to automatic things happening fast. I want to order my burger and have it in my mouth in 2 minutes. And it just doesn't work that way. I want you to know something. I want you to know that tilling your land is monotonous. It is boring. I can tell you something else. It's hard work. Again, I've never plowed behind a horse and mule team or any such thing like that. We of course, had tractors and all that, but it's still hard work. Think about the guy with the oxen or the horses or the mules. You know, he's got to keep hay up and planted and ready and feed up to feed that stock. My dad seemed like any time he wasn't actually plowing or planting or harvesting, he was underneath the tractor or underneath an implement trying to fix the tractor or fix the implement. That's like taking care of the horse. I mean, folks, it's hard work. And I, again, another little bit of a parallel. We milked 100 cows throughout my lifetime on the farm. And those cattle are to be milked twice a day. You can't milk them just once. You'll ruin them, okay? You got to get up at 3 in the morning to milk a cow. And then you got to milk them again 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Right, Bob? And don't look now, but after you get up at 3 in the morning, milk cows, then go to the field and plow, you ain't got the time or the energy to go gallivanting around with vain persons. J- Just because Billy Bob wants to go to the lake and get drunk and drag you off into a bunch of nonsense, you haven't got the time or the energy. I want you to know that tilling is hard work. By the way, it's not fun. It's not exciting, but it's not fun either. You know the F word, fun. The word that everybody uses to justify just about anything they do. But Mom, it's fun. So, I can tell you this. Tilling the ground, tilling thy land, is not fun for very long. It's just not. It's just not fun. It is also dirty work. No matter whether you work behind a horse and mule team, behind an ox team, or whether you crawl on top of a tractor, as long as it doesn't have one of those sissified air-conditioned cabs, which, by the way, we never did. You come home at night absolutely caked with dirt and chaff or whatever you're doing. I mean, you are caked, you are itchy. All you want to do is get in the shower. But it is dirty work. Again, a little parallel to this, not quite the same, but we milked 100 cattle twice a day. We had a dairy barn where you didn't have to bend down and sit down on a stool and milk the cow. Well, first of all, we had machines. But second of all, we had a pit. It was all concrete. We had a 3-foot pit dug so that the cattle are up at waist level. You know, so they're up here, so you get to work up here mainly. Okay, 6 on each side. The cattle come in and put their head in the feeder and they eat while they're being milked. Now again, they are waist high to you. Do you know what happens when cattle come into a barn and are eating? There are certain natural processes that invariably happen, sometimes 5 and 6 at a time. I grew up with my feet planted in manure. I mean, manure was a way of life, brother. My city friends would come and want to take a tour of the dairy barn. They'd show up, cattle would start dropping bombs, and they would head out the door. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, it's also dirty work, okay? Whether you're in a dairy barn or in the field, it's dirty work. Did you know? Sometimes you see stuff serving God that you wish you didn't have to see. There's dirt there, too. You see people's dirty laundry, and you see people act like the backsides of donkeys at times. It's dirty work. And you say, well, I think that's just discouraging. I'd just rather not do it. Listen, you need to plow thy ground. You're called to plow the ground, not follow vain persons. I'll tell you one last thing about, as far as this description is concerned, tilling can also be disappointing. You can kill yourself virtually, working your fingers to the bone to get a crop in. Then all it takes is the right amount of rain or the right amount of drought or the right amount of hail or an early spring or a late spring or an early fall, and you are ruined for the year and nothing happens in your field. Sometimes it is dreadfully disappointing. My father, by the time I have memory of it, you know, he's 35 years old. He's eaten up. His stomach is eaten up with ulcers because he's worrying all the time about the fields and the crops and all that sort of thing. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, it can be a disappointing place. It can make following a vain person seem like a relief. But the problem is the Bible tells you that following that vain person is not a relief. You're supposed to plow thy field, right? Not every crop is a bumper crop. You will learn in the ministry, you'll learn in serving in the Christian life, that you can work your fingers to the bone, you can pray over and around and above somebody for a long time, you can do your very best only to be disappointed in their response, or whatever else it is that you're working on. It can be really, really disappointing. You're still called to plow thy field, brother. Plow thy field. So first of all, we have described that choice. I want to basically tell you now the requirement of that vocation. The Bible says that you're supposed to labor in the vocation wherewith you're called. So maybe if you got saved as a plumber, you're supposed to labor there. But I tell you this, regardless of whether you're a plumber or a brain surgeon, if you're a Christian, the Lord has another vocation for you. And that vocation is serving God. And part of that serving God, you need a brother, you need to plow thy field. Plow thy field. There are some requirements for that vocation. First of all, let me tell you that if you're going to plow your field, that takes initiative. Okay? Now look, this is, that we've already established, this is thy land. This is your inheritance that God's given you that you're working over. These are pounds that God has invested in you to invest. And I got news for you. When the master comes back, he wants a profit on those pounds. That field he left you to plow that's yours, that ultimately is his, he's going to come back and require it with usury. You need to have made something of it. If you let it lie fallow and just grow over with brush and such, he is not going to be happy. And I'll tell you what, it takes initiative to till thy land. It takes initiative. How? Because it's your field. It's your responsibility. And nobody comes down the road with a bullwhip and forces you with a cattle prod out into the field to plow behind that oxen and get it done. Nobody, mama's not going to do it. You can only be told to pick up your room so many times. When you're 35 years old, you have to pick up your own socks. And once you're saved, I got news for you. It is your initiative that you're supposed to be doing this. It is not God's job to come down and make you plow your field. It's your initiative. I want to say that following vain persons requires no initiative. Fact is, vain persons, once they get a hold of you, they're going to call you up on the phone. They're going to suggest 10,000 things to do. They want to go to the lake. They want to go to the casino. They want to go do this. They want to go do that. Come on, let's go do this and let's go do that. Let's go do whatever. Go off into a list of 3,000 things that they want you to do. But the fact of the matter is, it takes no initiative to follow a vain person. They're going to call you on the phone and try to drag you off into their nonsense. It takes no initiative. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, we didn't get quite there this morning in Sunday school. It says that ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. You're called a servant of God. Now, the new versions and the newfangled Christians, you know what they use there? They use the word slave, actually, in some versions. If you look it up in Greek, here comes a Greek lesson. You're going to be fully filled tonight. Doulos means slave sometimes. And so the new versions have changed servant to slave. And here's how I know that's not right. I know that's not right because slaves don't have a choice. God has never one day in my lifetime as a Christian of 42 years, He has never come and made me do anything for Him. He has never made me pray. He has never made me read my Bible. He has never made me witness. That's all left up to my initiative. That's how I know I'm not a slave. That's how I know that doulos should not be translated slave in the King James Bible. My point, what is my point? Well, my point, ladies and gentlemen, is that If you're being bought with a price means that you're not your own, it is the strangest slavery that anybody's ever seen. Because while you are God's, He leaves it up to your initiative to go do what you're supposed to be doing. Brother, plow thy field. It requires initiative. It's really beyond a certain point, not the pastor's job, not the associate pastor's job, and not the deacon's job, to come stick you with a cattle prod and give you a goose and get you out on the street doing it's not their job to do that. God Himself, Jesus Christ Himself, your Savior, doesn't make you do that. It's your initiative. The requirement of this vocation is initiative. If you simply refuse to go put the point of the plow in the ground behind an ox, then your field remains unplowed. And you'll answer for it. It takes initiative. I'll tell you something else it takes. It takes vision. You walk out into a fallow field late February, early March. The weeds are all grown up now. It's wintered and the ground is kind of hard and that sort of thing. And it is really hard to see that this field, which is in no shape whatsoever, there is so much work that has to go into it that in 6 months, it'll be this high in corn. It's really hard to see. It takes vision to see a fallow, flat, open, wet field should one day in just a few months yield corn 8 feet high. It takes vision. It takes vision. Now, the prodigal son's friends had no vision. The Galatians' bewitching teachers, they had no true legitimate vision. They didn't. They led them wrong. They were vain persons. If there was one of the brothers that had a vision, it was the older brother that stayed behind. And it was his job to stay on the farm while the younger brother went away and wasted his substance on riotous living. It was the older brother's part to stay there and in the spring, in February and March, to have a vision for what this field should be in September. And it was his job to carry it out. It takes no vision to follow vain persons. None whatsoever. I tell you what else it takes. It takes discipline. Look in Proverbs 20 real quick. It takes discipline. Proverbs 20. Go down to verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Now, you know how cold it is. You live in Minnesota. And sometimes on a cold morning in February, January, February, after the fire went out last night, it is not the easiest thing in the world to go that 50 feet out to the wood pile and gather together, knock snow off of stuff, and gather together the right wood to get a fire started again. It's just, you know, because it's cold out there. And I can imagine getting behind an ox team in February, late February, early March, and still at night it's in the upper 40s or whatever. You get out there and it's still cold and it's still wet. And the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You know why? Because he has no character. He has no discipline. Did you know there's lots of things you're called to do that aren't fun and they're not exciting? And it's just going to be duty that you do it. It's going to take discipline for you to do it. The reason football teams have two-a-day workouts is not only to get their football players in shape, but it's to ingrain into them to persevere in hardness. When things are hard, when things aren't fun, when you're losing and your right leg hurts, you still have to go on. It's discipline. That's why there's such a thing as boot camp. It's discipline. It takes discipline to plow thy field. Because you're going to get up the first morning and plow and work your tail to the bone. And then you're not going to feel like getting up the next morning. After you're 50 years old, you work hard one day, you sure want to rest the next. But it takes discipline to get out. I'll tell you something else. It takes diligence. It takes faithfulness. It doesn't take diligence or faithfulness to follow vain persons. You think you're being loyal and faithful to somebody, spending an ungodly amount of time on somebody's Facebook page, following them on Twitter? Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. You need to plow thy field. Plow thy field. When I was a kid, I think back on the farm life, and sometimes my dad would send me out to a field that was 70 or 80 acres. And, you know, to give you an example, we sit on just under 2 acres on this property. Our church property is just under 2 acres. So multiply 2 acres by 35, and it's a field that big. And so he sends this 10-year-old kid on the tractor through the gate to this field. That's a pig field. And you're disking this swath 8 feet wide. You know you're going to have to go over it twice, if not three times. and you think, will it ever end? Because it just seems to a 10 or 12-year-old mind just that you see something that big and you've got to do it. It just seems like it's going to go on forever. I remember there were times when we harvested a grain. We harvested a grain for to feed our dairy cattle. And there were times that the hydraulics would go out on the dump truck. And so what you then have to do is get the big old scoop shovel, get in the back of the truck, lift up the little lift gate that's about this wide and about this tall, and start shoveling grain back down that chute so that it goes up the auger and into the silo. And sometimes Dad would say, it's got to be done and you've got to do it. So I'd be in the back of that truck, and it's just one scoop after another. Nothing ever happens. It's just, I'm going to be eternally in purgatory, just scooping and scooping and bending and scooping and scooping and scooping. It went on for days, for weeks, it seemed. In reality, you know, you get through a truck as a kid in, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours maybe less. But it seemed like forever. But you know what I learned? I learned in driving through the gate into those big old fields that it was my job to do. Dad said, I've got to do this other thing. I'm planting this other field. You have to disc this field. And, you know, don't come home till you're done. None of this cutting off at 5 o'clock stuff. Just because you heard the city folks do that doesn't mean you're done till dark. When you can't see, come home. If you get done with a field once, start going back over it and then come home when it's dark. I'm telling you, folks, you get in those fields and you're watching gradually as you go the length of the field, slowly fence posts advance and you're finally a quarter of the way done, half of the way done, three quarters of the way done. It just goes on and on and on. One thing it taught me is that a little at a time, and you keep after it diligently and faithfully, and eventually it gets done. Look at me. I'm not unloading grain. I thought it was going to go on forever. But it got done. I've had lots of other projects since then. It takes diligence. It takes faithfulness. It takes you sticking to it for a long time and getting it done. So, first of all, there was the description of the choice. There are the requirements of the vocation. Lastly, I want to talk to you about the yield of that harvest, okay? The yield of that labor. Now, it says in Proverbs chapter 12, just one more look here, Proverbs 12:11. Notice, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, write down satisfied, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Write down void of understanding. Now, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. Proverbs 28:19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Write down plenty. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Write down poverty. Look at those two things there side by side. Look at what those two distinct actions yielded. Look at the contrast between what came of both those actions. Think about all the monotony, all the repetition, the hard work, the dirt, the husks, the manure, the pain, the agony, fixing farm implements, having to reshoe horses and mules. Think about all that went into it, and when it's done, you're satisfied with bread, you've got plenty. The guy that followed the vain person, what is he? He's void of understanding, and he has poverty. You know, you look around at all of the people, all of the Christians, and what describes them is the word discontent. They're discontent with their friends. They're discontent in their churches. They're discontent with their marriages. They're discontent with work. They're discontent with life. They're just discontent with life in general. You know, it's a funny thing. I look back now. I have my problem is that I left home at 17 to go to college. and never went back to the farm. So, you know, I worked from the time I was 7 till 17 or 18 on the farm, and then I never went back. So a lot of my memories are like little kid memories where, you know, you just have these flashes of memory, and this is what it was like when I was a little kid, and you never really stop to think about everything that was going on around you. When I think back, I think that we would probably be described as hard luck farmers. And by that I mean my dad worked hard. And he was in partnership with my grandfather on the dairy, some of the cattle and some of the farm and that sort of thing. And my dad worked his fingers to the bone for his entire life. I never have recollection of having bumper crop of plenty, where for this year even, there's plenty of money. It seemed like no matter what happened, there was always drought or hail or something that ruined the fields. Or when it came time to get the field, the crop out of the field, the rain just poured from heaven. It was Noah's flood all over again. And hay and grain and everything just rotted in the field. Or when there was money, it seemed like the note on the land was due. Or there was a new tractor that just had to be bought, not because we wanted just a new model, but because the old one would not run anymore and the wheels would not roll and it would not pull. Well, if the tractor won't pull, you got to get another tractor if you're going to farm 500 acres, right? So my memories are that my dad had ulcers, worked his fingers to the bone, spent his nights many times awake, never really getting ahead, never really overcoming the first expense of the land and the implements and all then the subsequent things. It just seemed like we always operated. We had food on the table. We never had any money. We were cash poor. If I needed 20 bucks to go on some trip somewhere, it was a big deal. And there were times that Dad just said, "No, I have no money to give you." Well, my point is, I guess, looking back, I guess we were kind of hard luck farmers. It just seems like we never got ahead. But you know, in all that time with the ulcers and with everything else, I honestly can never remember my dad saying, "I want to do something else." The only thing my dad ever wanted to be was a farmer. It's kind of amazing I stop and think about it. I mean, he worked. When my mom and dad were first married, before I was born, he worked in town for a little while, but then came back to the farm, you know, and he worked that farm and that ranch the rest of his life. I never, maybe Kim has different memories, but I never remember my dad saying he ever wanted to do anything else but farm. That is, he was content doing what he was doing, ulcers and all. He didn't seek an easier life. He didn't seek a way out. He didn't threaten to move the family to town and take a job at the paper mill or something like that. He was content what he was doing for all the hardships and for all the work. And it's kind of amazing to me because he just did it because he loved farming. I have a calling to farm. I have a calling to farm. The people that you knew, that you know, that quit on their marriage, on their church, on their friends, on the body of Christ, on the Lord, on the ministry, out of discontentment, they quit on a calling. They were called to till this land. It's their land. And they allowed discontent to enter, and now they're out of the race. I just think back, and again, I have no glorious memories. I don't want to go back to the farm. I don't want to go back to the farm. Okay, my calling is to do this spiritually. I don't want to go back to farming. I left the farm for a reason. I don't want ulcers. I don't want to spend half my life underneath a tractor trying to change something out. I don't want to spend $300,000 on the first payment for a tractor, only to be rained out or hailed out in June. You know, I don't have a desire to go back. But I'm called. I have a calling. I have a commission to do this spiritually. And I can say, I'm content to do it. And I'm telling you, you're called to till thy land. And if you think that following a vain person is a good idea, you need to rethink that. Because it is a really, really bad idea. I have noticed that discontented people don't do much tilling. I've noticed that the folks that get discontented, it seems, now there are probably exceptions, and you can maybe think of one or two, but for the most part, people that grow discontented, I mean, this verse says, he says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. He shall have plenty, it says. He shall be satisfied with bread. I find that people that are discontent aren't doing much plowing. They're inactive. They're really not committed to it. To them, it's not a holy calling. To them, the monotony, the hardness, the dirt drives them away. Yet you are called to till thy land. If you'll till your land, you shall be satisfied with bread. Now maybe that means that there's always enough bread for you to be satisfied on. Maybe it means that when you work as hard as you have to work in tilling, you're grateful for any bread that comes along. You don't need T-bones. You're satisfied with bread because you're hungry. Right? I can tell you this. Discontented people, in my experience, don't do much plowing. And you're called to till thy land. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, this is intended tonight to encourage the hearts of your people. There have certainly been hardships endured. There have certainly been a lot of plowing going on. And sometimes it seems, Father, that there's not a lot that comes back from it. But you have given us promises with regard to this. And Father, we are mainly to stay away from following vain persons. The guy with the flashy watch and the flashy car, the roll of cash and all these big ideas and a song and dance is not the guy to follow. We have been given a commission that is, in many regards, not very flashy. It's not very exciting. And beyond the start of it, it's not very fun, really. We're called to till our ground. Father, help us to labor diligently. There's a reward on the other end. There's a harvest coming. We'll enjoy the full fruits of this one day, and we believe quite soon. In the meantime, Father, we need to keep our plow in the ground. We need to stay behind the oxen and just keep plowing. I pray you'd help us in this. Give somebody the encouragement that they need to do so. It's not always fun. It's not always exciting. But Father, I pray you'd help us to stay with it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Number Jenny plays. If the Lord dealt with you about something here tonight, I'll give you an opportunity to come and settle it here on an altar with just between you and the Lord. Our church is filled with folks that work, and I'm glad. And not just a job, but they work for the Lord. I'm thankful for it.
I do, but I'll tell you this. I know fully well there are things that I could do better, that I could do more of, that there's time that I could use more effectively, and there's energy that I expend probably on other things that I should do better with. The ministry, the Christian life, I have long said is one of the singular most frustrating things any man ever undertakes. It's frustrating because at every turn, you're thwarted by the old man. You're thwarted by the devil. The world is always against you. And not the least of which, there's always a vain person hanging around trying to drag you off to do something more fun, more exciting, less dirty. And it sure looks like the payoff would be a lot better. I can only read you the promises of God. The payoff is not going to be better. A man that follows vain persons is void of understanding. A man that follows vain persons is headed for poverty. That's the promise. A man that stays in a field and plows and plows and plows through the dirt and the bees and the heat and sweat is going to reap what's good and right. He's going to reap plenty. He will be satisfied with bread. Are you discouraged? Maybe even a little discontent? You need to rethink what you're doing. You're going to have to stay at it a long time. You say, I've been at it a long time. Well, you've got to stay at it longer. It's just the way it is. I mean, the truck has to be unloaded. The field has to be disked. And no matter how much I try to speed it up and go faster, I can't go any faster. You just have to keep at it. If it takes a bunch of hours, it takes a bunch of hours. If the Lord comes back tonight, good. But what if He doesn't come back until 10 years from now? What will the Lord find you doing 10 years from now? Are you close enough to the edge where you're ready to bail? Ready to yield to the discontentment and quit? And if it goes 5 more years, will the Lord still find you in the battle in 7? Let's look this way. We'll sing the last stanza. Be dismissed here tonight. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Father, you have called us to a noble work. And maybe we're so far from the farm today that putting a plow a bit into the ground does not seem a very noble thing. But for as long as there have been men, Father, we have put plows into the ground and planted seed, and you have blessed and fed us. Father, spiritually speaking, that is what we're called to do. That's what we are. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to obey the rules and laws of the seasons and to labor here in this venture that you've given us to do. It is a calling for us. Just as my father loved farming enough to live and get through all the ulcers and all the poverty, all the disappointments, and die and go to heaven, Father. So sometimes we're called to labor here, content, though we wish it could be more. Help us to do the labor. Help us plow our fields. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. See y'all. Remember, 10:30 in the morning, kids, you're leaving. Try not to be late.